นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุตังธัมมังสังฆังนะมัสสามิSo tonight, on the occasion of Thomas, you know, ordaining tomorrow, and Anagarika, a homeless one, I thought I'd talk about what's it like to enter the monastic life, and what is it all about, this Buddhist thing. And I think, you know, people of the world, regardless whether they're Buddhists or Christians or Asians or Westerners or man or woman, we all want to be happy, right? Basically. But how to get there? Sometimes in the world, we're told to be happy is, to do what we want, to have the world according to our own desires. People say and do things only that we like. Well, to be happy is, you know, to have things, the latest phones, or to be successful, to find somebody you love. And they all do. Those bring a sort of happiness. But those things change. Your one and only, your loved ones, can be annoying at times. And then people change their mind. You get divorced. You get the things that you really want. You also change your mind. You don't like it after a week or so with toys and stuff. Yeah, so this happiness is very fleeting, very changing. To be happy. But the Buddha, you know, who became enlightened based on his efforts, left behind a set of instructions of basically, you know, how to be happy. How to be happy, but how to get there. And it's about training the mind. You know, we want to be happy, but it doesn't happen by itself. You know, naturally, a natural mind, an untrained mind, has all sorts of emotional things that comes. One minute you're happy, other minute you're anxious, worried, confused. And those are the natural states of an untrained mind. And sometimes people not understand the physics of the mind. You know, I think it's their fault that they're not happy. Things it's their fault that they get angry a lot, or they get confused, get jealous. But it's all about, you know, the physics of the mind. The more the clearer the mind is, the more energy you have in the mind, it's just naturally happy, naturally at peace, feeling a sense of contentment, feeling a sense of well-being. It's the same with the body. You know, you want to have a healthy, strong body, right? You watch your diet, you exercise, and you train it. Right? And then you have a strong, healthy body, you have more energy, you feel more happy. Same with the mind. You know, you want a healthy, strong mind. You have to train it. It doesn't come by naturally. And training the mind involves, you know, a bit of meditation, a bit of learning how to work with the different things that come into the mind. So, you know, to have a healthy body, you watch your diet. You watch what you put into the body. You don't binge on sugar. You wonder why your stomach starts to rumble. Digestion issues. Right? You don't eat junk food. Junk food might taste good short term, but on the long term, you know, it plays havoc to your health. Yeah. It's the same with the mind. You know, to have a healthy mind, you have to watch what you put into it. What things you think about. What things you... how you use your mind. So the things you think about, the things that you focus on, does that bring a sense of peace or stillness? Sometimes we're not just paying attention. We think, you know, your thoughts come to the mind, emotions, We take it for ourselves. We don't understand that, yeah, that there are, that we do have control over it, what things we focus on. We don't have any control over emotions, you know, happy, unhappy. That's natural. It comes and goes according to causes and condition. But we can, over time, learn to manage it, to work with it. Learn to how to gauge, to react to the different emotions that come up. And things come in, how much do we attach to it? But sometimes when we have a clearer mind, high energy mind, a strong mind, a well-trained mind, we can hold these different emotions that come into the mind. Happiness, sadness, worry, anxieties, depression, rage or anger. We just can hold it. Yeah, this is an emotion that comes and goes. It's not me, not mine. You don't fully control it. You can work with it. We don't fully control it. And then these states, you know, you see that you better manage your emotional states, that they don't shoot up and down so much. There's not such a wide variety, but there's a steadiness and evenness to the mind. And that comes from just training it gradually, slowly. Yeah. So Buddha laid down kind of educational system. I always remind the people that come to the monastery. You might think you come to a center, that's, you know, kind of just by letting go of everything, letting go of the past, the future, letting go of the rules. But it isn't like that. We're more of the academy than a kind of a bed and breakfast, spiritual bed and breakfast. There is a discipline, there's a sharpness to it. And that sharpness does train the mind to be, you know, a bit more focused. And it starts out with harmlessness, you know, not harming creatures, not harming others, learning to live in communal harmony. Explain to, you know, the people, the dishes don't wash themselves when they put in the sink, right? Things don't put themselves away. Now, each and every one of us have to, you know, figure out, yes, it might be convenient when you have your breakfast or have your drink, you just put the dishes there and someone else takes care of it. But, you know, to reflect on communal, basic communal kind of etiquette, and what we do affect each other. We know what we want to do, what's convenient for us. But how does that affect others? Yeah. So this ability to reflect, to see the effect of our actions of other people. So it takes clarity. It takes being able to use your intelligence to think. And that's kind of moment-to-moment training. That's kind of compassion action. It's not all about reading a book and thinking wonderful ideas and concepts. But it's about putting these, you know, these concepts into practice. You know, how do we relate to each other on a day-to-day basis? You know, how am I, you know, am I peaceful inside? Am I considerate of others around? You know, like I said, you know, what's convenient for myself or ourselves might not be convenient for others. So learning to balance. Learning to contribute in a wholesome way in a community. So we have, you know, standards, structures that we ask all people to buy to. Yeah. And that creates a sense of trust that we can trust each other. That we, you know, when we leave, I leave my kuti, people leave our kuti, think people are going to go in there and take things when we're not there. But there's a certain level of morality, integrity that we are kind of try to live up to submit to. And once you have that, there's a level of kind of sense of well-being, sense of openness, and you can rest. You're not worried, you know, about little things, leaving things around, when people taking your things or saying things behind your back, criticizing you. Once you relax, the mind starts to settle down. And using that steadiness, using that sense of calmness, a sense of connection with community, we learn to train the mind to focus on one thing, either the breath or the body, just being aware of, you know, the present moment. Once you train the mind, it has ability, it has an energy. It has a bliss, a rapture, a sense of well-being that you don't need to distract yourself. You don't need movies, music to be happy. You don't need to, you know, have relationships. You're happy by yourself. You're your own best friend, really. People always ask, you know, Especially when you go to town to meet people. Like, aren't you lonely in there? Nobody around? It's like, no, it's great. I'm my best friend. I'm quite happy spending time with myself. In my heart, actually. I don't need other people around to be happy. Not that we can't be around other people. We're quite happy to be around people when it's necessary. You share meditation instructions, share the Buddhist teaching, or just to kind of, you know, help them different ways. And it's going to be, and the reason retreat is that, don't you monks miss intimacy with another person, you know, ability just to communicate, to grow, you know, from having a relationship with another person. And it's true. There is a lot, you know, we can learn by having a profound relationship with the human beings, you know, to be committed. But also there's something about the teaching of the Buddha that teaches that to have that love and compassion, have that care to every single person that you see. But you know how it is when you're in love, you can just kind of, your special one comes into the room, you're really happy and everything's perfect and we're always just glowing because you found the loved one. Well, you're in love. Well, imagine you can have that feeling of being in love with every single person that you see. Yeah, so I jokingly says, I'm in love with every single person, whoever I'm in front of me, I'm in love with. And then they leave, I'm in love with somebody else. But it's a training to be, you know, to have care and compassion, to be present, to be open to whatever it is that is in front of you. Yeah, and it's important training, you know, it's just to kind of leave everything behind and just kind of be present, to receive. And that's something that's very rare in the world sometimes. You see people, you know, maybe spending time with each other, but not really being present. Especially with these days with the, you know, kind of the digital mobile devices. You have a couple having dinner, really. But they rarely look at each other. They're like tapping away at the books, taking pictures for Facebook. But barely, you know, you see the kind of conversations happen. And I guess, you know, it's a different world we live in at times. That there's much more kind of interaction, digital communication, digital interaction these days. But this kind of present moment awareness is something that's lacking. And what you might be saying, you know, are you connected to the internet? You are connected to many people on a certain level, superficial level. But at other level, we're not really connecting. And some people joke, yeah, we actually were disconnecting when we go on the internet, actually. Because it's not really a human person sitting in front of us. It's just, you know, faces and visions and words. And some of them are real and some of them are not. But through learning meditation, through having mindfulness, we're learning to tap into this ability to connect with another being, other humans, on a more kind of more deep, profound level. Because the more clear our mind is, the more energy it has, the more we're there. And you can't offer something that you don't have. If we're ourselves, you know, a bit sad, we're ourselves a bit tired, then it's just harder, much harder to be present, to connect with anything, ourselves or others. Yeah. So it is through just learning to train ourselves, learning to know our own mind, that we can connect with others on a deeper level. And that even though it seems like we are kind of hermit living in a forest, not connecting with the world as much. But I feel that just learning to train the mind, learning to look at it into my own mind, my own personality, that I am learning that to connect with many, many beings on a different level. And sometimes it's palpable. The ability to send out good energy to your loved ones, the ability to send out good energy to different beings, to all the animals and beings in the forest, is something that you can feel when you live in this space. Yeah. Sense of harmlessness, but a sense of also safety. And that's kind of the basic law of karma. Whatever you send out, that's what you get in return. So you send out harmlessness, send out kindness, peace. And you receive that back. That's what many people say, you know, when they come to the monastery, they do feel a sense of support. Being a very kind of a harmless, being very kind of a blessed place. And it is, it's over many, many years, many people meditating, radiating kindness and gentleness. And it is a powerful energy that stays behind. And it's something that each and every one of us can do. Right? Yeah, so it is kind of it's a gradual training of the mind, you know, how to be happy, doing something about it, training the mind gradually. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be monk or nun to meditate, to practice, you know. Anybody can train the mind. Anybody can focus on positive things. And it's just kind of simple physics. You know, the more clear the mind is, the more still the mind is, the more bright, the more happy you are. And then the more clearly you see, you know, and then the more wisdom arises. See where it is that we suffer unnecessarily. Where is it that we attach? Where is it that we, out of delusion, out of irritation, we act? And that's the kind of that's the deep wisdom of the wise one. Ajahn Chah's famous phrases, you know. If you have wisdom, there's no problem. There's no suffering. If you still suffer, there's something you don't see clearly. Something you want. Something that you're missing. Once you see clearly, you're at peace. There's no problem. Yeah. So something we reflect over and over again. Yeah, what is it? We're not happy. Where is it that I want that the world that I'm not getting? And definition of suffering is, yeah, wanting something from the world that it cannot give you. Wanting eternal happiness, eternal youth. Wanting your loved ones to always do what you want them to do. To say the right thing. That's not going to be possible. Yeah. So through wisdom, we accept the world as it is. And then to accept, to learn from it, and to move on. Yeah. People can be wonderful, do really beautiful things, and then, or they can be, you know, the opposite. But we accept that. At this point in life, people are like this. They can't be any other way. We understand and live in a community, we can annoy each other from time to time. We accept our strength, but also accept our weaknesses. And we learn to work with each other in the best way possible. But it's a conscious effort, it doesn't happen naturally. It don't take, you know, 6 or 7 people, very different background, very different training, and expect them to always be in peace and harmony. But the intention of, you know, training, intention to live in peace and harmony is a powerful thing. And it brings out the best in people. Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of the training is. Yes, I'm going to notice we're far, far from perfect. But just the purity of intention, wanting to come and transform our bad habits, focusing on the positive, wholesome qualities, relinquishing the unwholesome qualities. Over time, this intention, the purity of intention, has a very transformative effect on everybody, on the whole community, on the individuals. And we said, yeah, one of the blessings is to be around wise people, be around harmless people. And that brings the best of us. Because sometimes, you know, when we at work, in school, you know, we don't control who we're around. Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong crowd and it brings out just the opposite qualities in our life. And sometimes we think it's our fault, but it isn't. It's a lot of times it's just conditioned. You know, who we're around, what we focus on. It's the same with the mind. We focus on negativity, that these things start to grow in the mind. But you focus on positive, focus on something that inspires us, focus on generosity, focusing on what's going on right with our life. Then there's a sense of peace, sense of gratitude and contentment. And from there, we can affect the world in a positive way, in a wholesome way. Yeah. But at times, sometimes we buy into the media that always focus on the sensational stories about negative things, about the world, how everything is going to you know, whatever, how everything is terrible. The climate change, well, the earth is going to blow itself up, this nuclear war just around the corner, so-and-so is, you know, war breaking out, it's just lots of injustice, lots of violence. Yeah, sure, that's also part of the world, but something we don't have to dwell on. But there's also incredible acts of generosity, incredible act of selflessness, incredible, act of devotion, it's an inspiration that we can focus on each and every day. So training the mind is also not what we do. What we do when we close our eyes, but also how we use it when we're awake, when we relate to each other. Yeah. So learn to focus on the positive things, what we do when we meditate. And so the same skills that we need to live fulfilled and skillful lives. We're not like burying our head in the sand because we don't like the world or the situation. But knowing full well that there are these different sides to people. People can be very selfish, annoying, critical. When we focus on that, then we get more annoyed. We react more negatively. And the situation gets worse. When you focus on the generosity, the purity of intention, the people around us, right? The fact that they're trying to be the best. Yeah, sure, we make mistakes and do silly things from time to time. But just the purity of intention, does change people over time. And you see that people come, can be very distracted, very confused. After a few weeks, a few months, things become to clear up. You can see the visible physical changes in them based on the internal emotional changes. Mind settles down, it's not so distracted. There's a calmness, a clarity, a radiance that starts to emit outward. And it's a beautiful thing to see. You see, that the teaching of the Buddha, something that's timeless, that spreads across culture and time, doesn't change. And that's the power of truth. That doesn't change. And people are attracted to it. They see, they hear it once, and it stays with them. Yeah, they can practice that. But it does take focus, it does take a bit of patience, steadiness to go at it. And sometimes that's those steadiness and patience, a rare commodity in the world. And we live in a world that wants everything now, yesterday. Now in common, we have young men coming, wanting to be enlightened. 7 days. The Buddha said in the books, you can become enlightened in 7 days. I'll give you 2 weeks. Then I'm going to be enlightened and do other things now. Get married, write a book, go on a world tour, other things. But steadiness, patience, it's a beautiful thing. The ability just to stay in the present moment, not asking for anything. Gratitude and contentment, that things are good enough. So it just takes that ability to stay in this to hold. This ability to keep on moving. You make mistakes, fall down, to just learn, to accept your mistakes, to own up to it, but not get consumed by it. And then, and keep on walking the path. Keep on practicing. Keep on accepting, learning from the situation, from the world around you. I always tell people, the practice is like eating. You eat long enough, you'll be full. But if you keep walking, you fall down, get up, keep walking, you get to your destination eventually. Right? Has to be that way. May not be in this lifetime, could be next lifetime, another 100 lifetimes, but you keep practicing, keep putting on the good, keep putting on the good causes, these results will come. They may not come when you want them, but they will come when the time is right. Yeah, but as you walk the path, you experience, an inner sense of peace yourself, sense of clarity with the mind, strength. You feel your emotional stability, the depth of your wisdom, then your faith arises, confidence arises in the practice, in the way. Yeah. And you feel a sense of being very blessed that the results will come, but there's no rush. You enjoy the journey. Buddha said, the path is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful in the end. There's no need to rush to the end to be fully enlightened. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy seeing the beautiful qualities in your own self, seeing the beautiful qualities in the people around you that's developing. Okay. so kind of kind of on this night, on Saturday night, occasion of Thomas going to jump into the deep end, giving up his home life to be a homeless one. You can offer some word of encouragement, reflection on the path of training. And it is, it's not always easy, but definitely very memorable, something beneficial. Yeah. So, you know, as we enter this world, we enter by ourselves. We also leave, not taking a whole lot with us. So why do we, you know, why do we sit there and try to accumulate things? Accumulate possessions, relationships, experiences. Because eventually, you know, something we'll have to leave behind. But the training of the mind, training in stillness, training in harmlessness, training in integrity, that brings happiness and stillness in our mind to ourselves and the people around us. Something that we can see, something much more tangible than the accomplishment, the achievement that we may pursue. Yeah. And it is the beautiful path, yeah, in each and every stage of it. So I offer that for your reflection tonight. You know, may we pursue our own path to purity, but also not just for our own benefit, but for the welfare and benefit of other people that we come into contact with, our families, our loved ones, our friends, people we come, you know, into contact with. And you can sense that, you know, as we become more happy, the happiness, the wholesome energy starts to radiate outward. I always try to kind of encourage people, you can't give happiness unless you have some yourself. You can't give what you don't have. So as we pursue our own path of happiness, it's just not for ourselves, but it's for, you know, the rest of the world. So you want world peace, you want to change the world, start with this thing first. First person in the world. Make that right, and everything else will work itself out. Offer that for your reflection tonight. Okay. Yep. So pay respects together, and then tomorrow, 4 o'clock for those who are around. Otherwise, it's breakfast at 6:30 or later.
4 o'clock in the office.
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the office. Sorry.
Arahaṁ sammā sambuddho bhagavā Bodhyāṁ bhagavantāṁ adivādhyāni. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṁ namassaṁ. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka-saṅgho saṅgham namaṁ.